How's it going over there, Redneck?
Not too bad, Pastor. How about yourself?
It's been a good day. It's been a snowy day. We probably got about 6.5 inches of snow or so here, which is unusual. It's honestly the most snow I think I've seen since I moved to Illinois. In South Central Illinois, I guess, you know. I'm not used to it. It's a lot of shoveling.
Yeah, I know. Iowa, we've been dumped and dumped and dumped and dumped on, it seems like, lately when it comes to snow. I know in our parking lot here, we just have mountains of snow everywhere. It's crazy.
Yeah. So the downside to where I live, we live in a cul-de-sac, which sucks for the plows because they have like this tiny space in between our driveways to shove snow into. So I've ended up with like half of my driveway from where they've shoveled snow into. I mean, in all fairness, I'm not the only one like that. My neighbor to the left of me got it pretty good like that as well. So I have the right half of my driveway. He has the left half of his driveway. They're just like, well, that's good enough.
Deal with it. Yeah, I've seen in those cul-de-sacs, I've seen them pile everything up in the center of it too.
You know, on some levels, I would prefer that just because then like you just go around the circle. But I will say that would make getting out a little trickier, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's all right though. I can't complain. I like the colder weather. Maybe not, you know, negative craziness weather, but I like the colder weather. Ooh. I would take cold over hot any day, you know?
Yeah. I'll take a mild cold over this like bone chilling, like frostbite in 2 seconds kind of cold.
So I've got to be honest. I would even take the bone chilling cold over the like 105 temp with like the 122 humidity kind of thing. I can't do humidity. Like I'm a big guy. I sweat easy. So like I think about working out, my body's like, oh gosh, sweats, right? So you're talking about a 102 degree temperature. Like the sweats come easy, man.
Yeah.
If that means Ed, you all know way too much about me now. But we do want to apologize. The last couple weeks, it's been a little bit challenging. We're still working out some of the kinks for the podcast, and one of the kinks was some of the audio, and I'll let you talk a little more about that right now.
Yeah.
Would you be our producer?
Yeah, the redneck behind the scenes here. You know, unfortunately, our audio file got corrupted, and it made us all sound like robots, and made everything just not sound like you could understand a thing we said. So I figured rather than put out an episode, we would just scrub it and wait a week and so until we had time to record and stuff, and we'll go from there.
Yeah.
And then Super Bowl hit.
Well, yeah, and last week was Super Bowl. We all had plans or something there. I know we were over at some friend's house. I was rooting for the Chiefs, but apparently Tom Brady had enough to pay off Patrick Mahomes because he did not play well.
I have to say I was rooting for Brady and the Bucks.
No!
Well, see, my thing is not Brady specifically, more just the Buccaneers, because I know some very, very, very obnoxious Chiefs fans, and I can't listen to another year of Chiefs fans. I just can't do it.
I can't listen to another year of people who like Tom Brady.
Well, I mean, the people who are Brady fans are going to be... they're going to be screaming about Brady no matter what, whether he's in the Super Bowl or not.
That's true. I mean, here's the deal. Tom Brady, okay, here's the thing. I will admit, Tom Brady is a fantastic quarterback. But here's always been my big thing with Tom Brady, right? If you bring in anyone to the systems where they've brought in Tom Brady, to the weapons that they've brought in for Tom Brady, it would make the worst quarterback look good, unless you're Cam Newton.
Poor Cam Newton.
Well, so I will say, in his defense, the Patriots were going downhill because if you remember right, I don't remember if they won their division that year, but they didn't make it past the wild round. Would have been not this Super Bowl, not this last Super Bowl, the one before, one that Kansas City won in the playoffs year.
Yeah.
They didn't make it past the wild card round, did they?
I don't think they did, no.
I think they made it to the playoffs, but didn't go very far because I think they were beat by the Titans, weren't they? If I remember right.
Yeah, I want to say they were beaten by the Titans. Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Derrick Henry is a beast, but.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, this is not a football podcast. We could talk about it forever. Anyway, that's my issue with Tom Brady is that if you were to, like, okay, we're Vikings fans. We've been over this. If they were to put Kirk Cousins in Tampa Bay with all the weapons, Kirk Cousins would have looked like a stinking rock star, man.
I mean, on paper, Kirk Cousins looks good, but Kirk Cousins is never good.
See, I disagree with that. Well, we can talk more about that later. But I disagree with that simply because I don't think he gets the credit he deserves. Like, the Vikings only won as many games as they did because Kirk Cousins found a way, right?
Yeah.
And that's even with a terrible O-line. And the defense, which has been the Vikings' like bread and butter for so long, just fell apart. Anyway, all that to say, in our episode that got corrupted, we also made some exciting changes. We are no longer going to be going by arguments of a redneck and a pastor. There's a few reasons why we're going to be changing. One is that we're looking to do a little more than just argue all the time, even though we haven't really done that much. And I think the other one is that we realize it's no longer just going to be us two. We're excited, you know, that the Husky Husker has joined us off and on. We're looking at maybe a couple other people joining us as guests and going on from there. So we're just we feel that our brand and our name needs to change to reflect that. So, Redneck, I will let you make the announcement.
Yes, we are going to change our name to Backyard Bearded Banter.
Triple B.
Yes, sir. Triple B for short.
Yeah. We're excited. If you can guess, we all have beards and we're all very attached to them. So.
Yes, yes. Redneck here has been growing his for quite some time.
I grow mine out and shave it down to 5 o'clock shadow, then grow it back out, then shave it down. It's just a cycle I go through. I can't do the poofy beard, man.
I'm going for the ZZ Top, like, think Duck Dynasty ZZ Top. Like, I'm gonna just let it keep going until it's there. Like, that's where I'm going for.
Dude, I mean, you go for it. I'll be happy to see you go for those. Did I miss anything?
Nope, not that I can think of. We can go ahead and move on to our stories for the week here, because I think that covers everything, because I don't think we had any mistakes we needed to correct or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I did just want to announce, if you are going to be sending us stuff or telling us how wrong we are, that we did switch our email address as well, and we are officially beardedbanterpodcast@gmail.com. So if you have any questions for us, anything you'd like us to cover, anything that you just want to tell us that we're wrong, that you agree, or that you agree with us, let's hope there's at least one person out there who agrees with something we say. Send us an email again at beardedbanterpodcasts@gmail.com. All right. Well, with all that being said, let's just hop into this first news story, man. So this has been going on for a little while now, and GameStop has been the headlines for a long time. Let me rephrase that. Been in the headlines for at least the past month.
Yeah.
Because of a Reddit movement.
which for GameStop is insane because GameStop has not been a relevant thing since the Xbox 360.
No, I think the Xbox One X GameStop was still relevant. Once they started pushing digital gaming, that's when Xbox or the you could buy the games digitally, you know, like you could buy a set of systems that are completely digital.
Yeah, I think once they started going digital, that's definitely when GameStop kind of became irrelevant, which I mean, you're talking the last 5 years here or so.
Yeah. Anyway, so essentially what's happened, and I'm sure a lot of people have heard about the news behind this. If you have anything that you think I'm missing or that you want to up in there and explain maybe a little better than I can, go for it, Redneck. But essentially what happened was the hedge fund managers of a lot of different places, I guess, saw that GameStop stock was on a downward Oh, well, you know, I speak for a living. I was on a downward slope. We're just going to go with that because apparently the other word is just too hard for me to say right now.
Right.
So the stock prices are on a downward slope. So what the hedge fund was going to do is they're going to sell off all their stock while it was high and then come back in once GameStop essentially at bottom or what they consider bottom, buy them back up and essentially have made all this money off of the GameStop stock. Because they sold them high, they purchased them back at a lower price, and essentially that's how it works for these hedge funds. What ended up happening is this person and group on Reddit noticed that this is essentially the trend that they were going to do. And I do want to mention just real quick here that it wasn't just GameStop either. There was a couple of other companies along with this, and I don't recall them off the top of my head, but GameStop was big one.
Yeah, AMC was also in there.
AMC Theaters, yeah.
Yep, and then there was also a BlackBerry Research in Motion. Nokia was one of them. I think Kodak, a few like that.
Yeah, so essentially these companies that are kind of, I don't want to say going by the wayside, but these companies that are, their stocks aren't quite as high as they used to be. Well, anyway, so essentially what happened is this Reddit group saw them, saw that they were super cheap, and got everyone to start going buy these stocks and these shares that this hedge fund company had just sold off. So essentially what was happening is this hedge fund company was expecting to make all this money by selling off their stocks at a high price, then buying them back, or maybe not buying them back at a low price. That's my understanding of it anyway. Was buying them back at a low price, all of a sudden saw that GameStop shares and stocks were no longer available or were becoming less and less available. So now it's driving the price up. So now this company is going to have to try and buy them back at a much, much higher price because now GameStop is worth more than what they were predicting. So essentially what this group did was they stuck it to the hedge funds, the people who have lots of monies and the hedge fund managers, and they essentially cost them a lot of money.
Yeah.
But because you're talking at one point in time during this whole thing, I want to say I read that GameStop stocks went from somewhere around $40, $50 a share all the way up to almost like $400 a share, if I read that right.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but that's a huge difference. So,
yeah, I know Wall Street Bets was the Reddit forum there that was the one that specifically drove this. And then so essentially what they did was they caused what is called a short squeeze and essentially made these hedge funds have to all of a sudden start buying to cover their shorts. And, you know, and that's where it ends up costing them a lot of money is they end up having to buy up all of these shares to cover where they're short. I mean, so the thing is it's one of those fine lines that it can get people in a lot of trouble when they start selling these stocks really short, because essentially what they're doing is by selling stocks that aren't there necessarily. It's just, I don't know. Yeah, it definitely was it was really interesting to see the momentum, though, that this Reddit forum had to shove this short squeeze so far up. And then now I know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then now it's all the way back down into like the 50s and 60s for price range for the stock.
Yeah, it's definitely come back down a lot. That's where it gets a little interesting. And when we originally talked about this, because we talked about this in the episode that didn't record right, and we're just kind of getting some updated information now, because it's still an ongoing thing. And one of the questions I asked you and the Husky Husker, who's not with us this week because he has dad duty this evening, but one of the questions I asked you guys is, are people going to buy these stocks, stay in it too long, and then end up losing money, right?
Yep.
And I think that's the path that right now we're seeing. We're seeing that these the prices swelled, all these big, like, huge swell, and people are buying them at 40, you know, even some of them, I think it was like $30 a stock or a share, but you figure now they're all the way up from, it could have been less than 400. I really don't remember the number I saw. I should have looked that up, but I didn't. Anyway, so now these stocks are, these shares are coming back down in price. So now these people who bought them at, when they were a little bit higher at $60, $70 a share, are now going to lose $30, $40, which in the grand scheme of things, $30, $40 may not make a difference to some people, but if you're living day by day, then that can be a huge issue. That's the difference between putting gas in your car or, you know, having food for a week for some people.
So the highest it got to was $347.51 was the peak.
Okay. I was off by about $60.
Yep.
The
52 week high for it, and that was just the past month here that it was the
right.
The 52 week high was $483.
Oh,
so
that wasn't too crazy wrong.
No.
So, you know, here's the thing though. Like, I'm concerned for people who don't know what they're doing getting into this and ending up hurting themselves. I think there's an article that I read that, like, that was Acorn, like investing apps like that.
And Robinhood.
Yeah, and Robinhood are a lot of what's behind this, because people are buying these stocks who have no idea what they're doing. Never worked on Wall Street, never seen anything like this. And are going on there buying up all these shares, and then now they're just stuck with them.
Yeah, so the thing is when you look at this, I think that it's a good thing that as a normal, everyday, kind of, you know, run-of-the-mill person, we're able to get in there and buy some of these and diversify our portfolios and do some of that. But I think the thing is you have to be smart about doing it. You can't do these kind of things and just go in willy-nilly and spending money and think that something's going to, you know, pan out. You have to be smart about it. And unfortunately, a lot of these people got in too late, or they got in and stayed in too long, or, you know.
Right.
So the problem is people just – with that kind of thing, it's not necessarily that people have these tools. The tools are more readily accessible now that we have the technology, such as smartphones and stuff like that. And the fact that there's literally an app for everything, but the
right.
The problem is though, that people are not necessarily using their heads and using smart investment techniques. They're just going by what a Reddit forum says. You have to, you can't just do that. If you're going to play the stock market, actually do your research, learn how to read the charts, learn how to, you know, see what the difference in the spikes and peaks and the bounces and the, you know, the short squeezes, and learn the difference in all of these things, and learn the terminology before you even start throwing money into this because it can be just as bad as sitting down in a slot machine and poking a button at that point if you don't know what you're doing.
Well, for sure. And so I think that's one of the big things that people aren't considering. And I'll be the first to admit, like, I have no idea what I'm doing. But I can tell you one thing. If I was going to buy stocks in a company, it's going to be a company that's going to be around for a while. And don't get me wrong, I love GameStop. GameStop is like our childhood, man. We went and bought our first Xbox and our Xbox 360 there.
Yep.
We, you know, we beat, like, Xbox was so good, or Xbox, excuse me. GameStop was so good that, like, you know, we would go there. We bought our 360. We put the warranty on it. It died on us. We took it back, got a different one, put a new warranty on that one.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure that one died. On. Yep. We were not kind to Xboxes.
Man, we just played and played and played them.
And then we wonder why we're husky dudes. But in all seriousness, though, like, GameStop was a great store and still is a great store, in my opinion. I just also think that people need to be careful, right? If you don't know what you're doing, don't try to be clever with it. Like, these apps are great; they can give people who are beginners an opportunity to get involved. But buy stocks that are smart. Like, for instance, I know you're going to hate me saying this, but Apple or Samsung. Ford, one of the major car dealers, you know.
I wouldn't even necessarily say starting there. Start in a emerging market with penny stocks. Start playing around with dollar, $2, $3, and playing around with those kind of stocks just to start out with. Right. And then in kind of as you're learning, you'll see where these companies are building. Not only are you building and helping your own portfolio, but you're also helping some of these companies that are these penny stock companies that could eventually be the next Apple, the next Microsoft, the next Ford.
Yeah. Well, my point was not necessarily to avoid the penny stocks. It was, if you're going to take a gamble with something that doesn't mean much to you, right? Yep. If $5,000 is a drop in the bucket for you, okay.
Yep.
Do whatever you want with $5,000. If $20 is the difference between you making it to work this week and not, maybe start with the penny stocks or the dollar stocks, you know? Because you're not going to buy a stock into the stock market in Apple and Ford for a dollar. Matter of fact, you're probably talking a couple hundred dollars for a single share of those companies. But, you know, my point is be smart. Do only what you can afford, because even the big tech companies, the big manufacturing companies are gonna take dips.
Oh yeah, that's the thing if COVID in general has taught us anything, it's taught us that, you know, our economy is not something that is stable 100% of the time. I mean, clearly, sure. If you're in the, you know, restaurant business or any business like that, you know, that they were hit really hard by COVID.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And so the thing is people
to
just...
To a certain degree, they still are getting hit hard.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, exactly, yeah. And until a lot of this is more, we get back to a little more normalcy, they'll still be pretty hurting. You know, I just people just need to be a little more careful with what they're doing and not just hop on the next craze. Unfortunately, I think with our culture today, people like to hop from the one craze to the next, and sometimes it seems like these crazes end up, you know, hurting people more than you know they think.
Yeah, well, I agree with that 100%. I just be smart, like it. If you're going to invest, don't invest more than you're willing to lose.
Yep.
I mean, that's as simple as it gets, right? I mean, I don't know a ton about investing, but what I can say is that if you're going to invest, don't risk more than you can afford to lose.
So it's just like gambling, the way I see it. You know, like the few times I'm not a big person to go into a casino and, you know, go, you know, play the slot machines or anything like that. I've been to the casino a couple of times. what my wife and I have done when we've gone is we'll take in $50. That $50 is what we have in our account or whatever that we can spare. That's extra burning money, you know. Mm-hmm. Once that $50 is gone, it's gone. We're done, you know. And that's the that should be the same mentality. Is that $50 you put in there, and if it grows, okay, take that $50 out, and then use that. Use your profits to then continue to grow that $50. But if it's gone, then okay, well then your $50 is gone.
Yeah. Well, I think you bring up some good points there. I don't know. Like, I do like the gambling analogy. I think, our grandpa, used to go when they'd make trips to the Black Hills.
Yep.
They would go to Deadwoods. They would go play the nickel dime slots, whatever they were. I don't know. I was too young. They would take a roll of coins in with them.
Yep.
Everyone got a roll of coins. When that roll of coins was done, you were done.
Yep. Exactly.
And matter of fact, a lot of times they would leave their wallets in the car because they didn't want to be tempted to go buy. Like, when that roll of coins was done, they were done. I mean, and that could get into a whole new thing. Like, for instance, I think of the Acorn app, right? And with Acorn app, I'm sure they have it set up where you can use Apple Pay and you can use Google Pay and all those things. So that could lead a whole nother line. Like, are we getting too reliant on technology for pay for things? But anyway, maybe we'll talk about that in another day, because that could lead to some arguments. I feel like maybe we are on different ends of that scale there, but maybe not. Anyway, so the other big thing that I think we almost have to talk about, right, is that Trump was impeached. I mean, technically he was impeached twice while he was serving in office. But this time he narrowly misses a conviction within the Senate. And when I say narrowly, I don't mean like he missed it by like one vote. It was relatively large. But for a split House, it was an interesting thing to see. In all reality, how close it really was with the House split. So moral of the story is I'm going to give just a couple quick things of why he was impeached. The House of Representatives impeached him back shortly after the January 6th incident for his, essentially what they're saying, his call to arms to the people who sieged the White House. I'm sure there are a lot of other reasons as to why they listed the impeachment. My understanding is the document was crazy long, but
as all government documents are.
Yeah, I was going to say, like anything in government, they read about half of it and then say, yeah, it looks good. And they miss the second half and don't realize that they just, you know, signed our country over to Canada. What we don't know is that we're actually all living in Canada now. They just let us run as our own. Sorry.
We're just Southern Manitoba.
That's right. except for Florida. They didn't want Florida.
No, that's Northern Mexico.
Yeah, that's right. Even New Mexico is Canada. Just Florida. All joking aside, essentially, what it comes down to is that he was impeached in the House, and then each time a president is impeached, in order to lose the office of president, they then have to go to the Senate, and there has to be a 2/3 majority vote, or that translates to 67 out of the 100 votes. With that being said, this time on the Senate, to impeach Trump, a non-sitting president, by the way, the vote was 43 to 57 to impeach. So Trump was essentially 10 votes short of being impeached by the Senate as well, or being convicted by the Senate, which is, I think, fascinating, especially considering the Again, the House is split. 50 Democrats, 50 Republicans. Now, there is a majority because we have a Democratic president. So that means we have a, you know, a Democratic majority House, because this tiebreaker, if it was ever 50-50, would go to the vice president.
You're thinking Senate.
Yeah, sorry. I meant Senate. Ignore what I said about House. Senate. We're talking about Senate. Sorry, my brain. I was right up until that point. Even with the Canada stuff, I was right up until that. Sorry. No, I'm just kidding. So here I have some questions for you that I'd really like to hear your perspective on. Mm-hmm. And some of these I have some really strong opinions on. So I want to know, maybe we can start an actual argument here tonight, okay? We'll see. So I'm just going to read through a couple of these. Again, remember the main reason that I've seen in the news and reported and all this, that Trump is being impeached, is for his comments about the January 6th Capitol. Essentially, they're saying he incited the whole event. It was pretty much him telling people, what did I mess up?
No, you're good. Oh, I'm laughing because there is a video I saw the other day, and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer actually mispronounced insurrection and called it the erection. Oh, and so
don't make that mistake.
No. So
well, did I say something wrong?
No, okay. No. That just started making me bust up because it made me think of that.
So, Trump, they essentially are bringing to impeach him because of his comments for January 6th. And again, he said, you know, march on whatever, right? Help me out here. What exactly did Trump say?
So he didn't. I'm trying to remember what his exact words were in his tweet.
I don't remember, but essentially he said to march down Capitol, like he's essentially saying protest the Capitol. It's
right.
The gist of it. Now, the actual quote, I think Redneck is looking up right now. So I'm going to keep going with questions and we'll come back to that in just a second. But there's a lot of questions that go with that. One, can they really impeach a person who's not in the office anymore? The other thing that's really interesting with this is Mitch McConnell and his whole thing. Essentially, Mitch McConnell voted to, acquit Trump. But then shortly after, he voted to acquit Trump and then essentially condemned Trump for his actions. My question for you is that, is Mitch McConnell essentially just trying to save face with the American people at that point? If he wasn't trying to save face with the American people, why vote to acquit Trump and then do the exact opposite of the next thing? One of my next questions is if is this story something that we're going to be seeing more and more with the great divisiveness in our country? And the last thing is, with all this, do we think Trump's actually going to be able to run in 2024? So let's just start with the first of this. Did you find that direct quote?
No, I haven't been able to find it yet. Unfortunately, with Twitter taking Trump off, it makes it a little more difficult to find some of his direct quotes unless you read through the whole articles here. But I know essentially the gist of what he said was that the election wasn't necessarily over, and that they didn't necessarily need to storm the Capitol, but they needed to march down Pennsylvania Avenue and demanding for this to be stopped and stuff with the official count of the election.
Right, yeah.
So
right, so the first question that we need to talk about is, let's just start with a simple one. Should Trump be impeached?
So the whole, I have a problem with impeachment the way it's been used lately, and I know that kind of dips into another question you asked as well. But so I know I don't necessarily I'll leave it at this so that I don't dip into that next question there. I don't think that he should be impeached the way that they're using it.
I will go ahead and just dip into the next question, man. That's all good.
So the question was, how did you ask the question?
Essentially, can they really impeach Trump since he's not in office anymore, right? Can they impeach a person who's not in a sitting office?
Right. So that's where it's become more of a weaponized political thing. And like you said, like I know your last question, like I said, I can pretty much ramble on about and answer all of those questions in my rambling here. But so my thoughts are, I don't think he should be impeached because what they're doing is they're using this as a weapon and not what it was intended for in the not necessarily the Constitution, but in our founding documents. The impeachment was used to try to take and do process a trial of a president who is guilty of high misdemeanors and crimes. And so the problem is, Trump, yes, he is a former president. No, he is not a current president. So the way it looks to me and the way it reads to me is that it is for the current sitting president. Why do we need to waste taxpayer dollars with them sitting here going through all of this when he is no longer the president? We have Biden elected. We have Biden in office. Why do we need to continue ramming this down the American people's throat and just continue wasting tax dollars? I mean, where's my stimulus money? You're wasting all this money, and you all keep talking this big game that we need all this corona relief and we need this stimulus money, but then you're wasting tax dollars and time on impeaching somebody who's no longer the president.
Yeah. So with that said, I do just want to point out real quick that the one thing I think they're trying to, the one reason I think they're trying to impeach him is because exactly the last question I asked, right? Because if somebody has been impeached, they can no longer hold government positions. Mm-hmm. So I think they're trying to impeach him. So he essentially in 2024, he can't run. Because right. I think what you're going to see is that, especially now, like I think he has something to prove now. And we're kind of skipping around in our questions here, but like, I would not be surprised if Trump doesn't throw his hat back in for 2024. I pray to God that the Republican Party can find mm-hmm. someone better than Donald Trump. It's not even that I think Donald Trump was necessarily a bad president. I mean, don't get me wrong, if the guy kept off of Twitter, I don't think people would have half as many problems as they, you know, did with him.
See, I mean, but
some of his policies were interesting, but
yeah, but see, that's what got him a lot of his following and his base votership mm-hmm. and stuff when the whole MAGA thing first became, you know, a thing in 2016 when he first ran. That was the thing, is that was what a lot of his voter base voted for him for, was because he was this brash, in your face, I don't give a care about anything mm-hmm. kind of guy. And he was the drain the swamp. I'm going to get rid of all of the people in Washington, and I'm going to, you know, whatever, yeah. and I'm going to build the wall, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And that's what built his base, was yeah. his loudmouthness on Twitter.
Yeah, so I don't disagree. I think you're exactly right. Like, a lot of that did build his base. But I think once he was president, he should have handed that off to somebody for him. Now, in all reality, he probably did hand it off to somebody. And he probably just had an intern that was typing exactly what he told him to type, right?
Right.
Because Trump he wanted to be a divisive person. And in all honesty, I think there's a lot of people who just want to be divisive. And I think Mitch McConnell's in that group. Yep. I think Kamala Harris is in that group.
Yep.
At times, Bernie Sanders is in that group.
Yep.
More often than not, I think Bernie Sanders is in that group. But you're looking at like, opposite ends of the spectrum, right? Like,
yep.
And I have a friend on Facebook who's always posting about how like anything Republican is the devil and it's just terrible. And then I have friends on Facebook who are the exact opposite. Anything that's Democrat is the devil. And I'm just like, no, what you guys don't realize is this system's not working for anybody.
Yep, exactly. And see, and that's why I just think, that's why I believe in limited government. That's why I don't think that our government is working for anybody. I think local solutions are best, because what is best for somebody who lives in Los Angeles is not what is best for somebody who lives in where you start to hear the banjos here and down in Alabama, or where you start to be scared for your life out in the middle of Tennessee, or because you're going to fall off a cliff and never be seen again. Or, you know, in places like Chicago, or, you know, you have... The thing is each area has its own challenges and things that each area needs. The problem is our federal government tries to put this one-size-fits-all Band-Aid on everything. And it has become so much of a team red versus team blue, right versus team left. And, you know, those of us sitting here in the center are like, yo, chill. Like, come on.
So I would think a lot of people would identify more as politically centered than a lot of people think. I don't mean that as in like people are indecisive. I mean, I think most people have stances that fall on both party lines. And I think people are often, culturally.
Party. Yeah. So I've seen, a few things and there's a, I don't know what I was listening to something the other day, and they were talking, and they made the comment that culture, politics follows culture. And so the thing is when you look at it, the politics and the divisiveness of everything being split is kind of ingrained in our culture. And right now, with everything that our media has shoved in front of our face, and with everything that, you know, and so our politics have become this, you know, everything is divisive and split between these two, is because, unfortunately, it's just become a sad part of our culture with, and a lot of that's driven by social media, because it's all right there at the click of a button, because you don't take the time to get to know somebody when you sit behind a keyboard. You can sit behind a keyboard all day and blast comments on Facebook and Twitter. And, I almost said MySpace. Holy cow, I'm old.
Tom is the OG, man.
I know, right?
That's a throwback to a different episode. I agree with that. I do think it's ingrained in our culture to be separate. And I think we have this natural tendency to go almost good versus evil, right?
Yep.
But I think that the issue that we come into is that in politics, that's not the case. I don't think one side is good and one side is evil. And you have people, I remember back... Now, we were much younger when the second George Bush was president, George W.
George W.
Yep. When he was president, we were much younger. But I remember people like drawing like devil horns on his face. Yep. And like, you know, I remember going to school in like second and third grade, and people like, second and third graders are talking about how Al Gore is going to win and George Bush is stupid. And
right.
And I'm like, I'm just like over here, like coloring, and all of a sudden, George Bush is stupid. What?
Yeah.
Who's George Bush?
You know. Right. Well, and that's, I mean, and even in some of the communities that, I mean, for instance, when we were in high school, you get into that, and that's, you know, you're talking when Obama was president, and our community that we lived in was not necessarily that diverse by any means.
That was a big deal.
Yeah, so it was everybody was really either upset or really happy. It just depended upon what side of the fence you were on. And in that town, if you were on the wrong side of the fence, you were on the wrong side of the fence, brother.
And let me tell you, there were not very many people in that town who were on the one side of the fence. Just say that town was not for Obama. Now, I, of course, was like, heck yeah, Obama. No matter what you say, man, I think Obama did some good stuff. He made some bad policies, but he also did some really good stuff for our country.
Oh, yeah.
And I go back to this. If Joe Biden listens to Obama and he listens to the little voice and says, just going, Joe, do you really think, you know, you really think that's a good idea, Joe? You know, I think Joe Biden will do okay. Now, I'm not saying he's going to do great.
Unfortunately, he has Kamala Harris there, though, also. So
that was his mistake. If Joe Biden, like, Joe Biden just needed to make Obama his vice president, man. Four more terms of a. I'm just kidding.
I mean, really, as far. The only thing right now that's been different between what Biden and Obama did within their first few weeks of office is that Biden has just exceeded what Obama did, and that's write more executive orders.
Yeah, I do think he's done a lot of that. But I will say, in all fairness to him, he's also going, like, essentially he's trying to get back to the end of Obama's presidency, right? Like, that's where he's trying to go. He's, in my opinion, he's trying to get back to the end of Obama's presidency and build off of that.
But that can be hurtful. That's the thing is you're essentially discrediting everything that the whole other side of the political sphere did for 4 years. Like, you're just saying, oh, nope, it's garbage. For gone. Sure.
Yeah, well, I agree. I don't think that should be allowed. Matter of fact, honestly, I think Congress needs to put a limit on the amount of executive orders that can be issued by a president. I don't know. Give them one a week, man.
I'm saying one a year.
Well, I mean, the thing is, they need to reduce it dramatically.
Yeah.
Because the thing is we have checks and balances for a reason.
Right. No, exactly.
Signing an executive order and then going from that just.
Yeah. Look,
Joe Biden, if he works fast and hard, he has no reason why he can't take the next 2 years and actually pass things through the House and Senate.
Yeah.
He just doesn't. But this whole executive order, you're flirting with this idea of not being a democracy anymore, and I don't like that.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. And see, and that's one reason I just really hope, like, the last question you asked was, will Trump run in 2024? And I think he has the will that he wants to run, but I don't know that the Republican Party will necessarily allow that to happen with everything that happened at the end of his term. I don't know that the RNC will allow him to get past much of, like, the beginning phases if he even tries to get a candidacy off the ground.
Yeah, so here's my thing. On some levels, I think he will run. On other levels, I don't. I mean, we might have another bull moose situation here, right? It's Teddy Roosevelt created the Bull Moose Party. And if you don't know what that is, a brief history of it is that Teddy Roosevelt had three consecutive terms as president. Wanted a fourth, but his party didn't put him up again, so he essentially created his own party. This is a Cliff Notes version. There's a lot more to it, but look it up. Essentially created his own party and essentially gave, I believe it was Wilson, Woodrow Wilson, the presidency, because he split his party's votes into two different places.
Yep.
I could be mistaken on some of those names, but I'm pretty sure it was Woodrow Wilson was running against them. But I mean, you can very well have something like that as well, where Trump decides, you know what, I'm going to make the MAGA party.
Well, he's actually already talked about making the Patriot Party is what they're calling it.
Well, see.
And but the thing is I honestly, so yes, he has a backing of, you know, the followers that he has currently. However, I can see a lot after, especially after the stuff that happened on January 6th with the Capitol Hill incident. I can definitely see that having an effect on some of the more normal Trump, Trump kind of base. The people who are going to kind of wake up and be like, you know, look, oh, what am I doing? Like, why am I following a guy? Why am I, you know, not sticking to my principles? You know, why am I not, just standing against and standing up for what I believe in and standing against what I don't, you know? Yeah. And that's, I can see some of those kind of people waking up and being like, oh man. But I can also see it driving some of these extremists even farther more to their extreme.
Yeah. So I can definitely see that as well. I just think that's going to be something interesting to watch. One thing that I'm just going to touch on real quick, and then we'll go into your next story here, is Mitch McConnell. I am going to call him out. Look, we've talked about how we don't necessarily agree with the impeachment. You don't necessarily agree with the impeachment process. I guess I didn't really say a whole lot about this because we got sidetracked a little bit. But all that to say, with the impeachment process, I think I'm with you a little bit there. I think they're just using it in the wrong way. I think then you'd have a different, something else to make it so he can't hold office again. Don't use impeachment. Impeachment should be if a president has done wrong, if a president is in the wrong, right? With all that said, with the Senate being split like it is, Trump did come close, he was 10 votes short of being impeached. But the one thing that makes it really interesting, that kind of bugs me a little bit, is Mitch McConnell's thing here, is because he literally voted to acquit Trump and they came out and pretty much said Trump shouldn't have done that, right? Now, that's the pastor paraphrase, because that's not what he said. He made a big speech about how, you know, la-di-da-di-da, we don't agree with violence, la-di-da-di-da, McConnell, la-di-da-di-da. My question is, why, if you don't agree with what he's done and you think it's an impeachable offense, why vote to acquit him? And then after that, why come out and say all this stuff? If you just voted to acquit him and then came out and went, naughty Trump, like, aren't you just contradicting yourself? And really, I think it all has come to, he wants to be the majority leader again. Mm-hmm. I think he's trying to save face with the American people.
Yep, I completely agree with that. Mitch McConnell, to me, he is such a wishy-washy, flip-flopping, typical politician. He is one of those guys who will do anything and everything to claw his way to the most amount of power he can possibly do, to be able to control the most he can for Team Red. That is just how his politics are. If you watch his history in politics, that's just how he plays, and that's exactly what he's doing, is trying to save face and claw back up to where he wants to be.
Yeah, I don't know. Here's my thing. I don't care for Mitch McConnell. I think he... Oh, what's his nicest way of saying this? I just don't... Let me first say this. I don't know the guy. He might be the nicest guy in the world. It's not necessarily I don't like him. It's that I don't like the way he practices politics.
Yep.
And I don't like the way that he essentially... I think of... Oh, what was it? Was it the COVID relief package that he essentially filibustered?
Well, and he didn't even filibuster it. He didn't even bring it to the Senate floor. Being the Senate majority leader at that point, he just chose to not even bring it to the Senate floor. Being the person in charge of the Senate, he could do that.
Yeah, and I just think that's... I don't like the way he plays. He doesn't play well with others. He needs to... You need to have a, well, is it caution doesn't play well with other sign for him or something like that? Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we've talked a ton about Trump getting impeached in politics. So let's talk some more about politics. I think I see your next story is a little political. It's not really that political, though, I think.
Yeah. So Biden, we talked about how Biden has been on a rampage of putting out his goals and everything via executive order. He is looking at by the year of let's see, what was the year here? 2025? Hold on, I totally forgot what year it was he was looking at. he is wanting to 2035. Wow. He is wanting to cut
a little
all
further than 2025.
Right. He is wanting to essentially cut all fossil fuels and end all fossil fuels in the United States. He's looking at rejoining the Paris Climate Accord as well within that. And then he also, within that whole same climate agenda / fossil fuels, he killed the Keystone XL pipeline as well. And so it's one of those things with this, the Paris Accord, I don't know. I understand trying to get along and make our earth better and make it, you know, so that our future generations can have a more sustainable earth and continue to live well and prosper. And, you know, I'm all for that. Unfortunately, however, it's been proven now, when you look, China doesn't always give us everything that is factual. Other countries don't always give us everything that is 100% factual. So the thing is yes, we can agree that, okay, we're going to pollute less, but that doesn't mean necessarily that China's going to pollute less. That doesn't mean necessarily that India's going to pollute less. That doesn't mean necessarily that, you know, anywhere else is going to pollute less. Yeah, they can say that they're going to, but that doesn't necessarily mean they are, because we've been shown that their data isn't necessarily always something we can, you know, see and necessarily is always 100% correct.
Yeah. So I hear what you're saying, and I agree with that to a certain extent. I will say, one thing to keep in mind with that is that while yes, China's accurate, you know, China may not be willing to play ball, and a lot of people may not be willing to play ball. Again, we've talked about this in the past as well. I think just because other people are not playing ball doesn't mean we shouldn't attempt to, right? And I don't mean that we need to stop and go and jump back into the Paris Accord or whatever. I think, honestly, we need to do something. We need to figure out what works for us here before we start telling the world that we'll help them, right? before we start telling the world that we're going to commit to this, let's figure out something that works. Now, I saw a big thing about GM is doing a lot more electric cars, which is cool.
Yep.
Ford has even come out with some electric cars, which the Mustang Mach-E, I think, is what it's called.
Yep.
Essentially an electric SUV. It looks pretty cool. I mean, the thing is, it doesn't look like a Mustang, or I'm sure it doesn't feel like a Mustang.
Right.
Just because they haven't done that. they just haven't made them like these electric cars sound or look like gas-powered cars. Here's my big thing. I don't think what Joe Biden is saying here is practical, because he's really wanting to do that in the next, you said 2035 is when he was wanting to have that done by. So you're talking, that's the next 14 years.
Yep.
Until about the past year, I drove a 1995 F-150. That car was older than our youngest sister.
Yep.
There's a lot of people who don't drive new cars, right?
Mm-mm.
I mean, look, your Blazer's what, like a 90 or 2001 or something like that?
2000, yeah.
2000?
Yep.
So your Blazer's 21 years old, right? No one's gonna buy your Blazer from you, but
no, nobody.
Well, the junkyard might.
Yeah, that's the only place that wants it.
But here's the thing: like, it's just not practical. And when you're talking switching all these coal plants. You're talking about doing all that kind of stuff. You're talking millions of dollars of infrastructure that are gonna that's gonna have to be changed. Not a couple hundred, but millions of dollars.
Well, and then you have to look at the efficiency of everything, because then the thing is if you look at solar, if you look at wind, if you look at whatever, is it going to be efficient? Is it going to be cost inhibitive? Is it going to be cost prohibitive? Is it going to, you know, the thing is if you look at all of these things, what they're looking at doing, you know, taking all of these coal plants and the gas plants and the oil plants and all of that, and changing them over to these more eco-friendly. I'm all for, you know, being less hard on our environment.
Yeah,
but,
I agree.
But let's do it in smart ways. Like, I'm all for looking more at, you know, other alternative energies. I'm for even looking at nuclear, you know. We've, and I have had that conversation a couple of times, just, you know, personally. I think even I've talked a little bit on the podcast about it, but with nuclear, you know, the thing is there's facilities here in the U.S. that have been operational for quite some time that haven't had any issues. The problem is people look at,
Chernobyl,
and they have issues with it. But the problem is with Chernobyl is that wasn't necessarily the fact that it was nuclear. That was the fact that it was allowed to be run down and things were overlooked and it was poorly managed. And the thing is if we make sure that these things are managed to the way and the specs that they need to be, and we have all the technology backups and we have everything, there should be no reason that we shouldn't be able to switch to something more economical like nuclear.
Yeah, I think people are just afraid of nuclear, though. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm being honest, like, I don't know that I would want a nuclear reactor in the backyard, you know? But again, I think you'd almost have to do it to where, like, for instance, you're talking in LA. I don't know that one nuclear reactor could cover that entire area, right? You're talking what? LA alone is like 3 million people or something like that, I think. I could be wrong. It could be less than that. But so you're talking, in order to cover the amount of power consumption that LA has, you're going to have several nuclear reactors. And that's just for one city. Right. If you look, I pulled up, you can type in YouTube nuclear power in the United States and they'll actually lay it out like section by section for you. If you look, the Midwest has actually quite a few of them, which is interesting because the Midwest, like you go across the Midwest and it's like you see corn, soybeans and windmills. But essentially you're talking all of this, I just wonder how much power these can really put out, and if it'd be an actual legitimate alternative to production that we can get with coal and with gases, with fossil fuels. I don't know.
Yeah, so I mean, they look and they look that it's 91% efficient compared to natural gas. The average is 50%. Coal is almost 59%. So if you look at the efficiency versus the cost per hour, per however, whatever unit they use for it.
Yeah.
If you look at the efficiency ratings and stuff, nuclear efficiency wise is way more efficient. So it's also way cleaner because you're not burning it and sending it into the atmosphere. I mean, and like I said, I know people are afraid because of things like Chernobyl. But the problem is if you look at what truly happened there and dig into the actual history and the actual mismanagement. And it was, I mean, look at where it was at and look at the government that was over top of it at that time. I mean,
you're talking, that's in Russia. You're going to have things, or maybe it was in the former USSR or something.
Yeah, it was in the Soviet Union. That's the thing is, and when you look at that Soviet Union, look at how many people starved because of the Soviet Union. They couldn't even feed their people. Do you think they can take care of a power plant? So accidents are bound to happen if you can't even feed your people.
I mean, that's true. I will give you that. I don't know. So here's my thing, though. And I think this is where a lot of people sit. It's one of those things where nuclear has a bad connotation behind it, right? When you think nuclear, you think of the atom bombs. You think of nuclear warfare.
Right.
You think of how one little nuclear mishap can set off, you know, can
kill
thousands and thousands of people, you know. I don't know that people are ever going to be comfortable with it, but I do agree. And like, if you do any amount of research or digging around on Wikipedia or anything, you can see it's actually a really, I don't know about stable, but Wikipedia says it's stable. So I believe Wikipedia, you know, but no, it's actually a really high producing form of power. It's just one of those things where I think you have to ask the question, like, does the benefit of this outweigh the concern of the American people?
Right. No, and that's exactly the thing is, and that's why I'm all for looking at it. And if you look at the advancements and stuff in it, I'm all for, you know, making it less cost prohibitive to look at some of this stuff, because then, you know, we can look at having, you know, more energy produced cleanly in the United States and not necessarily have to focus on fossil fuels, and that could help. But the problem is they're more focused on what they want to focus on, and they're not focused on the general spectrum of helping with clean energy.
So one of the really interesting things I just looked up here in Illinois, I'm looking at the power plants in Illinois, and what this is saying is that as of May 2020, 66% of the power produced in Illinois is nuclear, 14% is coal, 9% is natural gas, and 11% is renewables. And this is looking up on Wikipedia, so take it for what it is, but that's really kind of interesting. I would have never guessed that, but I definitely think that's definitely interesting. But anyway, all that to say, I mean, if Illinois can run 66% off of nuclear energy, I mean, I had no idea that there were even nuclear power plants in Illinois.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing is people don't really know how much about it. They're just so afraid of it. And what they really don't realize is the only reason it is not that cost effective here in the United States is just because there's so much regulation and cost prohibition on it because of what the government has regulated and made it not cost effective for the power companies to look into some of these. So
apparently there's actually even one in the Quad Cities.
Yep.
So not too far from where you are. There's one in Clinton, Illinois, which is not too crazy far from where I am. So it's really interesting. I'm gonna have to do some more looking into that. I mean, honestly, if they run and we don't even know they're running, like, clearly they're working. It'll be interesting to see where we go with it. But
definitely.
Anyway, I think it's time for a good laugh. It's time for the Florida man moment, my friend.
Yes, sir.
So this week's Oh Florida, the Florida man moment, comes from Orlando. Of course, something weird happened in Orlando. Anyway, this self-proclaimed social media star, and again, I won't say his name because he's being stupid. He doesn't deserve to have any more fame. Was arrested on charges, arrested and found guilty on charges of misdemeanor battery and criminal mischief. Would you like to know what he did?
Yes, yes, I would love to know what he did.
I'm going to read the headline here, and it says, Florida man sentenced to jail and moral therapy for attacking a minion. So essentially what this social media star did is he saw this dude outside in a minion costume promoting a store. Actually, in here it says that this person in the minion was a 41-year-old man with disabilities, and his name was Jamie Roem. And essentially, he was just working his job, and this 27-year-old came up and started essentially beating him up because he thought it'd be funny. The headline is funny. The story is not so funny.
Yeah. But,
essentially, what I will say is that whether you think you're social media famous or not, don't go beating up minions. You don't know who's inside.
Right. Well, yeah, just no, that's don't attack somebody. Like, there's clearly somebody inside of the suit. Don't attack them.
Right. Ugh. Yeah. This social media star said, "So I do want to apologize to anybody I offended or offend with my situation. I was trying to give you guys a funny video with no ill intentions. I mean no harm and still love everyone and just want to make you all happy." Can I just say, that just makes me so angry because that's a blatant lie. You knew there was somebody in that video when you attacked, or in that minion's costume when you attacked him. Right. This guy did not deserve that. You, my friend, deserve to be going to moral therapy, and you deserve the time you spend in jail.
Right.
Anyway, all that to say, don't attack minions. They're people too.
Right, yeah. I mean, just poor guy in the minion costume. I mean, all I can think is, did the cop show up going, Beto, Beto? You know?
Yes, yes, they did.
Oh.
And Gru also showed up and shot him with his fart gun.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
So, for some conspiracies, you ready for this?
I'm always ready for a conspiracy.
So, this isn't so much of a conspiracy unless you don't believe in Bigfoot, and then it is a conspiracy. Because so in Oklahoma, Representative Justin Humphrey in the House has put a bill to open up licenses for a Bigfoot hunting season. And yes, I mean, he legitimately wants to make a Bigfoot hunting season in Oklahoma. He wants to essentially do this, and all of the license fees will go directly to the conservation and wildlife management there in Oklahoma, the department there that deals with that directly. But they want to open a specific set time frame, like you would a deer season or a rabbit season or something like that, just to hunt Bigfoot, specifically hunt Bigfoot.
So sometimes I'm a little sad that this isn't a video podcast, because let me tell you, I don't think words does this. I don't think I can do justice to these words. Dude, that's insane. I have two thoughts. One, this guy is ingenious. People are really going to buy these Bigfoot licenses, going out to find themselves a Bigfoot. And they're not going to, they might be using their bullets, but they're not going to be shooting anything that's actually a Bigfoot.
They're going to be drinking beer and shooting guns.
Redneck, I shot Timmy. Get the gun. What was happening, sir? Well, you see, what happened was is that Timmy here, he thought it'd be funny to run around and grill a shoot, so I shot him.
I thought he was one of them there Bigfoots.
Right. Sir, I would like to go to the hospital with you, but first let me grab my gun and my banjo. Right. I mean, it's smart. You're going to get a lot of money that way. And at least it's going to something that's good for all that money. I mean, I don't drink, but what I will say is that I would love to go. I would like to buy one of these permits just so I can see the idiots. Of course, what's going to happen is you're going to have all these people wanting to watch these idiots Bigfoot hunt, and you're going to have no one actually Bigfoot hunting, you know, because like I'm going to buy a license and I'm going to go Bigfoot. I'm not actually going to, but I would buy a license and go Bigfoot hunting with you just to watch you make a fool of yourself.
You know? See, but I'm not going to Oklahoma to go Bigfoot hunting. If I'm going to go Bigfoot hunting, I'm going to South Dakota.
Why not like Washington or Oregon?
I mean, I'd go to Washington or Oregon. That's another good Bigfoot sighting area. The Black Hills of South Dakota is another Bigfoot sighting area. You know, I know there's been sightings in Oklahoma, but not that many. Not enough for me to want to go down there to hunt. Like, if I'm going to go hunt Bigfoot, I want to go hunt him somewhere, you know, that he's more prevalent. And I know I'm actually going to have a chance of at least seeing a Bigfoot.
I got nothing. I got nothing after that. Other than if I could see without my glasses, I would take them off and say, I don't know what I would say. I'd just take them off and face palm. Well, I'm going to, before you get back into Bigfoot, I'm going to move on to saving humanity because, buddy. Well, my saving humanity moment, I did take the one that we did in the episode that was ended up being scrapped because I thought this was really awesome. It is a little old timeline here, but I still think this is an awesome thing that Bernie Sanders has done. Now, you've heard me poke fun at Bernie Sanders, and like I've said before, I don't always agree with his policies, but I think he really, truly wants what's best for the American people. Mm-hmm. And I think he's willing to put his money where his mouth is. Everyone remembers the Bernie memes. Some of them are still floating around, but that was really kind of like a week, maybe 2 week thing. And then I haven't seen much since then. Really haven't seen much since February.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But essentially what Bernie did, he took the memes that have been going around and he put them on a shirt and he started selling them. Mm-hmm. And the first batch sold out like instantaneously. Like he put up the site, sold out. And then he put up more, they sold out. He put up all these different merchandise things. And what's really cool is that he's not taking it for himself. He's actually donating it to several different charities in his home state. And for the life of me, I can't think of where Bernie Sanders.
Vermont.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. wow, it's been a weird day. But he's given it. Last I knew, it was up to 1.3. It could be higher now. Mm-hmm. But $1.3 million worth of profits from these sales, going to different nonprofit charities, mm-hmm. In Vermont. And it's a really cool thing that he's doing, and it's something that he's steering into the skid of this. And he, you know, instead of being like offended or something, which is, I think, is what we're so used to seeing from politicians, yep. even like from Trump. Like if Trump would have done this, like there would have been lawsuit after lawsuit after yep. lawsuit. But like Bernie's like, forget it. People want to have fun. Let's have fun, man.
Yep.
And you know what? While we're having fun, I'm gonna raise money for a good cause.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. That's, you know, that's awesome that he can at least take it in good stride and you know, be happy and raise money yeah. for something that is at least going out and helping people. I mean, I don't yeah. necessarily, like you said, agree with him all the time, but at least he's putting this to a good use and making, mm-hmm. you know, something that's going on and capitalizing on it to help other people out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what it comes down to, is that he's helping people, and that's what's awesome. So
definitely.
Well, with that, do you got anything else, or what do you got to say for the end of the podcast here, Redneck?
I mean, I don't have a whole lot of things other than, you know, just with the name change, go ahead and find us. Backyard Bearded Banter over there on Facebook. Now it's a little easier to find. We yeah. also are on Anchor FM and Spotify and all of the big pod casting apps. Go ahead and find us and subscribe and like us, and you know, go to Facebook and like us on Facebook and stuff, and just, you know, promote us to your friends and your family if you like us. And if you have anything that, you know, you think we said wrong or did wrong, go ahead and, you know, send us an email there.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you guys. That email again is beardedbanterpodcast@gmail.com. shoot us an email. We'd love to hear from you. We are currently working on a new logo. It is our old one, so if you have any logo ideas, send us a logo. We'd love to see some ideas from all of you who are listening, you know, all probably 12 of you. Mm-hmm. But that's okay. We do this for the 12 of you, and that's perfectly all right. But we'd love to hear from you. We would love to see what your ideas for the new logo should be. I think that's all I got for tonight. Redneck.
Sounds good. Yeah. Signing off for the Redneck. Have a good night, y'all.
Night, everybody.